This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing global news, stories, and life to you, one country at a time. This is the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's Joy 94.9, the World Wide Wave. Tonight we are venturing to Germany, very much a first world country and engine house of Europe in the economic states, but perhaps not in the GLBT rights stakes. Tonight we're speaking with Manuel Garcia, a female-to-male transgender person who has created a photography book that details the transformation of individuals from around the world as they go through the incredibly personal process of gender reassignment surgery. We'll also speak about living as a transgender person in Germany and the worst place in the world to be transgendered. As always, we love you to be a part of our show. You can get involved by simply sending us an SMS on 0427 Joy949, emailing us in the studio on air at joy.org.au, or call the front desk on 1300 Joy949.
Some of the questions that we have for you tonight are, where do you think it's going to be the best place to live if you're a transsexual person? Another question we have is, what's it like to be transsexual and come out to your family? And lastly, would you put yourself into a book exposing yourself to the world as a transsexual? These questions are more tonight.
But as always, we like to start with some music from the countries we're visiting, and we are very pleased to have Tom back with us.
Woohoo! Yay! I'm back. But I don't have any obscure music tonight because Germany's not a difficult place to find music
not
from.
Not obscure.
So first off the bat, we've got the classic rock Scorpions. They, of course, formed in Hanover, Germany. And tonight we've got Send Me an Angel. Joy 94.9, a worldwide wave. If we're at Fun Fast Facts, of course, we are in Deutschland, the Republic of Germany, this evening. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to be speaking about some transgendered rights in Germany. But now, for generalization of Fun Fast Facts in Germany, what do you guys think? Let's start off with the big question that we always like to ask. Marriage, yes or no? Of course, same-sex marriage.
I don't know. It's a pretty progressive country.
It is. And we're going to find out about how progressive it is, but then they come up against sort of a little red stop sign. Halt. And yes, no legal marriage for same-sex couples. They do have registered partnerships, and they're becoming very progressive on what that means. They like to say it's the same as being married for the straight couples. Registered partnership, same for the gay couples, but it's not quite. And just last month, they made another step making it closer by making the tax laws the same. So in Germany, you now pay the same tax laws whether you're a registered partnership or whether you are legally opposite sex married. So no marriage, but they're getting there. Obviously, because they allow the same-sex registered partnerships, there's no laws against same-sex activities, and there haven't been since the late 60s. Interestingly enough, though, it was East Germany, the former communist country, that actually repealed the Nazi laws prior to the Western country. Do you have any idea why that might be?
I'm amazed. That's not the way it's meant to be. How could the communist countries that were meant to be way behind everybody and
we don't like when the communist countries are more progressive, but one of the reasons that it became so progressive was because of the church in the old East Bloc. The church decided to support any and all factions against the government. So they actually gave a voice to the gay community in the old East Germany. They gave them a place to congregate and a place to meet and really sort of supported them in their push against the government. So it was a full year prior to the West repealing the Nazi law.
I love it. The church's allies with homosexuals in order to repeal a repressive government.
It is interesting only because in the good old West, it was the complete opposite. The church was pushing against the progression for gay rights and still is. As you may or may not know, one of the leading parties of Germany is the Christian this party, the Christian that party. And of course, both of those parties, while becoming a little more progressive, are still what you would say are the status quo of kind of holding back the gay rights.
But there are parties in Germany who are taking up the fight, particularly in the area of same-sex marriage. The Social Democrats and the Greens have put up several times for same-sex marriage to come into law. It hasn't got up. Interestingly, parallels to what's going on in Australia, one of the states within Germany has last year put up a vote for same-sex marriage. So this sort of same sort of thing happening here where same-sex marriage is being trialled through the states instead of a national program.
Interesting. Yeah, it was just in 2011 that that came about. And it was actually in the previous government, which was Schröder, for anyone who knows your German history, who was not part of a Christian party. He was the one who was a little more progressive for the gay rights, legalized homosexuals serving out in the military. It had always sort of been an unspoken thing, but in 2000, he, under his government, that was legalized, and also they were allowed to be promoted to officers. Previously, that was not allowed. He was also the, under his government, was when they did the registered partnership. So interesting that when the government changed and they went to the Christian insert, whatever, there's like three different Christian parties there, it became a little more conservative. And while not completely stalled, things have slowed down a little bit.
Do you think the initial momentum was sort of a reaction to the Holocaust persecution of gays, the same way that it is in Germany very illegal to deny the Holocaust? And that sort of, it's very careful laws that Germany has about Jewish people, about gypsies. Now it just seems like, do you think this is very carefully orchestrated pro-gay programs to make up for the fact that so many gays were forced to wear pink triangles and were, well, cremated?
It's interesting that you bring that up sort of with that spin. One of the interesting things about Germany was that as part of the EU, as they are part of the EU, there's something called the Amsterdam Treaty. And that Amsterdam Treaty, one of the things that it speaks about is making equal rights for people, an example, in the workplace. Germany was one of the last EU countries to ratify their version of the Amsterdam Treaty. And that was because they spent so much time talking about how they were going to do this. Were they going to go one step further? Were they going to go one step behind? They ended up actually going one step behind the rest of the EU, and they just sort of barely follow the treaty. But they spend a lot of time talking about things, and they talk about that, and I think what you mentioned comes into play. I don't know how to verbalize what I'm saying. I'm not sure that at the end of the day that is still a factor in 2012, but historically, yes, I believe that that would have been a factor.
Now, Tom, Germany has taken the lead on something in the area of gay progress. They've taken the pink dollar to a whole new level.
They have. Unfortunately, my German is more than a bit rusty, and the website was only in German, but I did find that Germany has the first gay credit card called Pay Gay.
Oh my gosh, is it pink?
Funny enough, yes, one of them is pink. One of the credit cards is pink. So
two
you can
colors.
Have a pink credit card with the title in the left-hand corner, Gay Pay. Interesting.
And spend all your pink dollars.
Here on the World Wide Wave.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
That was Heat of the Night. Sandra, you're on the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we're stopping off in Germany. Now, you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949. Reach us on air at joy.org.au. And we have had an SMS come in, a correction even. They were murdered, not cremated. Dead people are cremated. I stand corrected, and I welcome and thank you for that. You are right. The gays in Germany were, in fact, murdered, not cremated. So appreciate that. Always good to hear a little bit of feedback, and glad to know that you're listening, whoever you are. So, yeah, now we're on to talk about not just necessarily gay folks in Germany, but tonight we're going to talk about transsexuals in Germany. And one of the things that we're learning when we chat to Manuel Garcia, who's a transsexual author of the book Trans Men of the World, is we learned that in Germany the system's pretty good and quite supportive. So one of the questions I had in my mind while I was listening is, how much should a supportive state support people who are going through the transsexual transition? Should they be paying for the surgeries? Should they be providing support groups? Is it just enough to simply have laws that guarantee rights? Where is that? If you've got any thoughts on that, feel free to send us an SMS or email. But until then, we're going to be hearing a little bit from Manuel Garcia.
In Germany, it's okay because we do have a transsexual law. We have the law. We have a transsexual law, and you have rights, and you can go for your right. People like it or not, but you have rights. And this makes it more acceptable for people. If you tell them, listen, there's a right, and this is what makes it easier for the people to understand. You also have the right to get your papers changed, and physician and the health insurance has to pay for that, for surgery and the hormones, and you have to see two psychotherapists for that. And we have good surgeons. The situation in Germany is okay, but nevertheless, it's still necessary to inform the people about transsexuality and to make it less harmful for the trans men and trans women.
Are there support groups for you in Germany?
Yes, we do have support groups, yeah.
You talked about people being more accepting. Do you find that the average German person is generally accepting of transsexuals?
Depends on if they are informed or not. So if the people are informed, especially in the LGBT scene, they are more tolerant than people from the country who have no clue. So that's why we try to inform as much people as possible.
Have you found any discrimination within the gay community?
Yes, unfortunately, so, which I can't understand, because they, all of them had coming out themselves, and so I can't understand why they do discriminate transsexual people. And it's a little better in the lesbian scene, but the gay scene is not really tolerant.
And you were saying that the state does a lot of support. Does the state then pay for the surgery?
Yes, if you go to the psychotherapist and they prove that you are transsexual.
Worldwide Wave here on Joy 94.9, and that was Manuel Garcia, the transsexual author of the book Trans Men of the World, and he was talking about transsexual rights in Germany.
And it's a really quite a progressive country, so the state has essentially has a mandated health insurance policy that everybody pays into, sort of like a Medicare, if you like, and under that policy, gender reassignment surgery is allowed, is accepted and fully funded by the state.
Now, do we know much about that, though? Because we have talked about countries previously where the government pays for it, but it's not necessarily, let's call it, very comfortable, the things that they have to do to get the surgery. We've actually spoken about countries where, you know, you basically have to go in and say, you're crazy, or you know, these sorts of things. So this is such a progressive country. Is it an easy, reliable thing that can be done? Do they have to go through painful steps? Do you know what I'm asking?
Well, the only steps he mentioned really was this. I'm sure there are many more steps, but the psychotherapist does have to declare that, in fact, they are transsexual. But I don't believe that it was a diagnosis of crazy. It's just more a case that this surgery is congruent with who you identify with as a person.
Hmm. They've actually got some criteria. So a medical diagnosis of transsexualism needs to be made. So you've got to get your doctor to, I guess, sign off on that as a diagnosis. The person needs to feel that they're living in according to their desires for at least 3 years, so it's not something you can jump straight into. And there has to be an understanding that it's unlikely that those feelings will change. They're, I guess, the criteria for it to fall in terms of the law, and the law allowing this to be a part of the health insurance, they're the criteria that they give. So not invasive as you might see in other countries. And this law, bear in mind, came into effect in 1980.
Wow.
That's quite early. That's even earlier than New Zealand, because I know New Zealand has a similar support for transsexuals, but I hadn't realized that Germany, 1980. So there could be people who've had that surgery 32 years ago even. That's phenomenal.
That's right. You have to be over the age of 25, though, interestingly.
Interesting. Still very progressive for the 80s.
Yes, that's not too bad. Speaking of the 80s and all the music we've been playing, what decade is the song Supersonic by Kim Petras from?
Supersonic?
Supersonic.
Not 80s?
Not 80s.
90s?
I'm not sure.
Are we just shooting in the dark here?
It's actually a really recent one, and a bit of a story here with Kim Petras. Used to be Tim Petras, a German pop star that at the age of 16 became the world's youngest transsexual after a sex change op.
So we know that Kim had to pay for the sex change off because...
Under the age of 25.
She was under 25. Here on the World Wide Web.
We really wanted to know what's the best countries and the worst countries of the world to be transgendered.
Thailand or Malaysia, Turkey, Iran, South Africa, and so on, and Europe, of course.
How you got the people from various countries to become involved in being a part of your book?
That was the most challenging and time-consuming time. I Googled and mailed and chatted for months, and from some parts of the world, I couldn't find any F2Ms because they're not out. Yeah. A lot of them are scared of losing their jobs or even losing their lives. And so they are scared to be published in a book, so it was really hard to find them. It took me forever. It was really hard in Malaysia, so that was really sad to see how transgender people have to live there.
What made that the most challenging place?
It's hard to live here because they have no rights. Their papers will not get changed. The health insurance, as far as they have one, is not paying for the surgeries or the hormones, and they're not accepted in the society and not in their families, and they get eaten up or even killed. So the problem is that a lot of them have no jobs because they buy testosterone, the hormones, on the black market, so their appearance is masculine, but their papers are still female, so it's hard for them to get a job, so they try to find a job where they don't need any papers for, so they either don't earn any money or less money, so they can't afford any surgeries. So they have hormones but no surgeries, and they're really suffering, and yeah, Malaysia is really sad.
On the other end of the spectrum, which country is the most supportive of transgender people?
I was surprised that, for example, South Africa is really supportive. Of course, there's a lot to do still, but I guess Germany is on the top.
Now, the book you created is a photography book. How did your participants feel about being in a book?
Well, I guess they're really proud, and they use the book for their political engagement and to fight for equal rights and integration. And because those who participated, most of them are political active, because the others were too scared to be published in a book because of their situation.
Is it your experience that people from other countries move to Germany because of those rights?
I get a lot of emails from transgender people from all the world. Just a couple of days ago it's from somewhere in Asia, and they asked me if they can move to Germany because they heard that Germany is so supportive. But what I have to tell them is, no, you have to be German. You have to live and work here to get the health insurance and to get the support. You cannot just come here as a tourist or for a couple months and get the rights. No, that doesn't work, unfortunately.
That was Manuel Garcia, transsexual from Germany and author of the book Trans Men of the World.
South Africa.
Go figure.
I would not have picked South Africa as being the most supportive for a transgendered person.
He did say that there was some work to do, and he definitely speaks nothing but praise of the German situation, but South Africa, random.
But it really has, since Nelson Mandela became president, they've become quite progressive in so many areas. But yeah, wow, no idea.
Yeah,
meanwhile, surprises with Malaysia, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say on the other side is Malaysia. And it's true, like I was in Kuala Lumpur the other month, and we're just walking around I wasn't necessarily looking for a nightclub, but I had my eyes out, and it's just heavily religious, heavily Muslim country. There isn't drinking on the streets, which has a clean, safe feel to it. But the flip side is, I could see how a heavily religious country might also not be supportive. And to think that these people are working in illegal jobs because they can't show their card, which shows their gender. Just to be yourself, you have to be an underwaged, underrepresented person in the workforce. That's actually just sad.
Manuel also talked about the challenges of finding people for the book, so that there were so many people that he would have loved to have had in the book, but they didn't feel comfortable enough. They weren't out to people as transgendered, or they were effectively in hiding, fearing for retaliation from people, I guess. Very challenging.
Yes, and we've got a little bit more from Manuel about himself and the book.
Where are you originally from?
I was born in Germany, but I'm the child of a Mexican father and a German mother.
And have you been back to Mexico?
I have a big family there. I've been there once in a while, but I decided to stay in Germany.
And your Mexican family, are they accepting of you as a transgender person?
That's an interesting question, because I broke up the contact to my family in school at the time when I decided to transition, because I was scared they wouldn't accept it. And I didn't hear anything from them for 10 years. And then one day I got an email from them, and they had a big discussion in the whole in the family, and they decided that I'm a part of the family and that it's okay. And so they told me I started a revolution in the family, because they really discussed it for a long time.
Thanks for that, Manuel. Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself professionally?
As I said, I'm an architect, but when I was 40, I quit my job as an architect, and I started photography because I really like it.
And what feedback have you had to the book?
Well, I have a really good feedback. People are really interested, and the feedback is good. I have an exhibition here in Munich, and I had an exhibition in Berlin, and I tried to get an exhibition in the USA, in LA or San Francisco, and all the people who have seen the book they like it.
Excellent. Congratulations on your book. What's your next project?
Actually, right now I'm working as an architect again, because I have no money left, because the project was really expensive. So I will work as an architect for 1 or 2 years and try to...
So the book is Trans Men of the World, and we'll provide our listeners with a link on our website, and they can visit garcia-photography.com to find out some more. Manuel, thank you very much for being with us. And good luck with your next project. It's the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9, where tonight we're in Germany, and we are talking transgendered issues and the book Trans Men of the World by Manuel Garcia. The book won the Pride Photo Award in Amsterdam.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Great, great accolades.
And you can look it up on Facebook on Trans Men of the World as well, if you wanted to see more.
It's quite interesting... if you were going through gender reassignment surgery and that whole process, and it is a process, no matter what country, it takes a lot of time. It's an incredibly emotional thing. And then somebody sends you an email and says, hey, I'd like to put you in a book. What would you do?
Yeah, it's a very personal journey, I can only assume. And then, yeah, somebody wants to put you in a book. Yeah.
I'd do
feel
it.
Proud.
I'd have nothing to lose at that point, I reckon.
And Manuel was saying that he's had, great feedback from people about it. So, and there's probably not as many, there's lots of books on gay issues and lesbian issues and not as many on transgender issues. And yes, good to see that out there.
He was also saying that most of the people in his book are using it for political leverage and political purposes, but also that most people in his books are the active politicians. He's not getting the quiet, marginalized workers. He's getting the folks who have turned the corner and are willing to be out and proud as the transsexual people that they are, which does make some sense.
Time for some more music. This is a song by Klaus Nomi. It's actually from the soundtrack of the movie Romeos, which you may have caught at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival this year, a gay-themed movie about a girl wanting to become a guy. This is Valentine's Day on Joy 94.9, the Worldwide Wave. It's It's a worldwide wave on Joy 94.9. You can't say you don't get variety on this station.
It's all about variety, but I hope it's also about explanation. What?
You feel what? That needs an explanation, yes. That was Klaus Nomi, born Klaus Sperber, a German artist. And basically, he's a countertenor known for his very wide vocal range and unusual stage personas. He's covered everything from synthesized opera, which was kind of what that song was, right through to 1960s Chubby Checker's The Twist.
Wow.
Yeah. And why did we have the synthesized opera?
Well,
because it was in Romeo.
It was Romeo's film festival, and a great movie actually too. So,
and it was enlightening music. It was something new, something different.
Absolutely, here on the Worldwide Wave.
Joy 94.9, Worldwide Wave. This week we are stopped over in Germany, but we're in the midst of a little music festival, I think. So why not keep it going? What do we have next, or shall we just listen and find out?
No, we're going back in time. We've got to introduce this one. This is 1930s. We're now thinking Berlin in the 30s, quite a racy place, and actually quite well known for being gay friendly.
Really?
Yes. Pre-World War II, it was quite the centre of gay activity in Europe, and one of the icons, indeed has remained an icon since, was Marlene Dietrich, stage performer, accomplished singer, and later actress in Hollywood musicals. This is the very iconic song from Marlene Dietrich, Falling in Love Again, on Joy 94.9, the Worldwide Wave.
I often stop and wonder.
And it's Joy 94.9. That was Marlene Dietrich. I kind of felt like I was sitting in a smoke-filled room with a tall glass of champagne.
And a bunch of gay German men pre-World War II around me.
Absolutely. Sounds good to me.
I'm not objecting to that with Marlene Dietrich on stage. Come on now.
She's so smooth.
Beautiful.
Mm. We are in Germany tonight, where we've been particularly talking, probably a little bit different to our regular shows. We've focused in on transgender issues, and we've had an SMS through from Elka. Great to hear from you, Elka. Great show again, folks. Love to hear you three and the people you interview, keeping it real and reminding us of what life is like for our friends in other parts of the world. That's what we do here. We go around the world one country at a time. Sometimes it's countries that are very progressive in their gay and lesbian rights, such as Germany. Sometimes a lot more challenging.
But I think we've definitely learned that Germany is on the forefront. Perhaps not on the forefront, but they're definitely a very progressive country. Mentioned our interviewee that it was obviously one of the better countries for the transgendered community. State-sponsored surgeries, support, etc. Things seem to be all right.
And the issues of same-sex marriage is being raised, and it's not going away. They're talking about it.
And if nothing else, the Christian Coalition has given in and they allow the same tax benefits for both sets of married couples. So I guess that's a step in the right direction.
And there are adoption rights and things like that. So quite a suite of rights in Germany.
And mostly as a result of history, which was the most fascinating part to me, that East Germany was first because the church was supporting the gay rights movement. And then beyond that, it was even popular before Germany was split due to the 1930s. I don't know what it was due to, but for some reason it was just okay to be gay back then.
It was just the 20s were pretty liberal, and 20s into the 30s were pretty liberal all over the world. It was quite a let your hair down time, end of World War One.
The actual nasty World War Two that sort of ground a lot of things to all the fun things to a halt anyway, and we sort of went backwards for a while.
That's fair enough. And we got to hear a lot more from Manuel Garcia today. We thank you. He is the author of the book Trans Men of the World, which you can find on Trans Men of the World on Facebook, and you can also
go to Garcia, GARCIA-photography.com. Now, we've got a bit of news for our listeners.
News? Who's news? Besides me being back, there's more news?
But that news is going to come to us shortly, so keep yourselves guessing. Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. We're the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. We've taken you to Germany, and now we're going to be taking a rest.
A rest?
A rest. every good show, and particularly every good show on Joy 94.9, gets a little bit of a break every so often. Now, we've been on the air for a year solid, 52 places we've been around the world.
Wow.
I know.
We've made it around the globe once or twice.
Pretty exciting. We've got our frequent flyer miles up.
But you know what the good thing is? There's more to come.
Yes,
there's definitely about another... How many countries are there in the world?
218 on the Google document I was just creating the other day.
Oh, so we have more than a few stopovers.
Well, there's a few more years, and I think there's even some worth revisiting as we progress along. But we are going to take a little break. Joy runs in grid, so the next season we're taking a little break for 3 months, and then we're planning on coming back bigger, brighter, and better.
January 2013. In the meanwhile, we will be continuing the podcast and putting up interviews because we do have been getting in touch with some folks that are still more than happy to chat to us. So we'll be saving those up for you. So you can look for that all coming up on our webpage, w3joy.org. That's W, the letter, 3, the number, joy.org.
And you can find all of our contact details on the Joy website, joy.org.au, where you can find, Facebook, Twitter, we're out there.
We've got SoundCloud, we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter. We don't have YouTube.
Now, if I were to go on the web right now, Squirrel, and type in that web address that you gave us for our page.
Yes.
Is it live?
It is active. You would see podcasts of our most recent show. You would also see more in-depth analysis of each show. Some of your fun, fast facts have made it on. And we've got a map of the world where we've colored it in with the colors we thought, if it was blue, if it was really bad. And then the thermometer got warmer and warmer to a bright pink if things were amazing.
Bright pink.
I'm not sure if Germany's going to be bright pink or an orange.
Let's go with orange. Right. It's not quite a fluorescent pink.
Okay.
It's getting up there.
So we'll say accepted, but not necessarily celebrated.
Correct.
Fantastic. Excellent choice. So yeah, all of that is going on behind the scenes over the break. And we will also, if you're interested in helping us out with our social media program, let us know. Send us an email at worldwidewave@ymail.com or worldwidewave@joy.org.au. And that is a way you can get a hold of us if you're interested in being part of the team and working all of this behind the scenes.
Now, to finish off, we wanted to finish off on a really upbeat song, a song that everybody knows.
Everyone has to know the most, the most famous German song.
It is iconic German song.
It's quite far back as the 30s, but we're going a few years back.
Something to do with balloons, maybe?
Balloons? Could it be red balloons or Luftballons?
1999. This is Nina on Joy 94.9. See you in a few months.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.